If you're traveling for Thanksgiving this year, you might want to build in some extra time. A new traffic projection says it could be one of the busiest holidays in recent memory. It's Tuesday, November 21st, and this is Wisconsin Today. It's good to be back. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Wisconsin school libraries will see record funding in 2024. And we'll hear about a famous cookie from Madison that disappeared more than three decades ago and one man's attempts to recreate it. Stay with us.
You keep your finger on the pulse of regional news when you tune in to Wisconsin Today. It's your support that makes these 10 minutes of headlines with context from around the state possible. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Wisconsin roads could be in store for one of the busiest Thanksgivings on record. As Joe Schultz reports, more than 1 million residents are expected to travel this week.
AAA predicts the state will see its third busiest Thanksgiving weekend for auto travel. Over 960,000 people are expected to drive from Wednesday through Sunday. Nick Jarmuz is with AAA. He says drivers should plan ahead for congested roadways.
Leave early, give yourself extra time so that you don't feel rushed and feel pressured to speed or drive unsafely once the congestion does clear up.
The State Department of Transportation says construction on Highway 151 in Dane County and Interstate 43 in Milwaukee and Ozaukee counties could also affect holiday travel. Beyond roadways, a record 113,000 Wisconsinites are expected to travel by plane for Thanksgiving. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Public schools across Wisconsin will see record funding for libraries in 2024. $65 million will be distributed from Wisconsin's Common School Fund, which gets its money from interest payments, fines, fees, and unclaimed property. English teacher Peggy Wirtz Olson leads the teachers' union known as the Wisconsin Education Association Council. She notes districts can spend the money on library resources ranging from books to computers.
Educators in most districts tell me it's the only funding the school library receives, and without the funds, they fear their libraries may close.
The funding represents a 25% increase over the current year. Wisconsin's Secretary of State, who sits on a board that manages the Common School Fund, says it's seen higher returns in recent years. That's after a 2015 state law expanded the board's authority to diversify the fund's investments. Highly contagious avian influenza is back in Wisconsin after a year of no new cases. Hope Kerwin has more on the new detection and what it means for the state's birds.
The State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection confirmed on Friday that highly pathogenic avian influenza was found in a small backyard flock in Taylor County. The last confirmed case in Wisconsin was in November 2022. But state veterinarian Dr. Darlene Conkle says it's not surprising to see the virus return.
We are seeing kind of an uptick in cases throughout the United States, actually not in one specific area. So the migration of birds has something to do with that as well.
Wisconsin wildlife officials have detected avian influenza in migrating waterfowl in the state this month. Conkle says poultry owners should remain vigilant with protective measures like hand washing and limiting a flock's contact with wild birds. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Conservation groups want Governor Tony Evers to block a proposed land swap between the state and Kohler Company for a proposed golf course. Kohler wants to build an 18-hole course along the Lake Michigan shoreline. In 2018, the Policy Board for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources approved transferring nearly 5 acres of Kohler Andres State Park and a roughly 2-acre easement. In exchange, the company offered 9.5 acres of its property. Cassie Steiner with the Sierra Club says it's not a fair trade.
This is an important stopover area for migratory birds. There are also a number of endangered reptile species and plant species that rely on this ecosystem. And what's been swapped does not have the same quality for the wildlife.
Groups want Evers to send the decision back to the board. In a statement, Kohler said it aims to avoid or minimize environmental effects while building the course. In Milwaukee, nearly 1,000 students enrolled in public school have not attended a single day this year. Corrine Hess reports most of those students are in high school.
Milwaukee Public Schools social workers have made phone calls and home visits to try to connect with parents and students, but many families have been unresponsive. Nicole Kane heads school social work for the district. She's worried the students will end up dropping out of school completely.
I don't know what the answer is to get them back in school, and I'm trying to work with the DA's office, but they have one district attorney and a part-time paralegal. The amount of cases that would be brought to them is more than they can handle.
Nearly half of MPS students attended fewer than 90% of school last year. Statewide, about a quarter of students in public and private schools missed at least a month of school. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a conversation about the cult of Madison's Gorilla Cookie and how one man tried to replicate it 50 years later. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
If you were ever at a Madison co-op from the late 1960s to around the 80s, you may have heard of the famous Gorilla Cookie. The pastry had a cult-like following for about 20 years, but then suddenly disappeared from the shelves. Many tried to replicate it, but Ted O'Dell, the baker behind the recipe, took his secret to the grave. Joining us now is Dave Dennison, the senior editor at The Baffler. He spent some time with O'Dell in different periods of their lives. Dave, thanks for being here today.
Thank you. It's good to speak with you.
Starting right off the bat, I know there are a lot of listeners who maybe hear Gorilla Cookie, and that's going to grab a certain part of their memory from Madison. For those of us like myself who weren't around at the time, can you describe what these cookies looked and tasted like?
It was a variation of what you would recognize as an oatmeal raisin cookie, but it was meant to be, it was described on the label, a whole meal cookie. And so besides rolled oats and raisins, it had a lot of other ingredients like wheat germ and nuts and probably a couple different kinds of flour, mostly sweetened with honey and I think a little bit of molasses. I remember that the label, which was handwritten by the baker, had the words chew slowly, but we don't have the full list of ingredients, so we're all guessing. I think that the interest in the Gorilla Cookie itself has a lot to do with partly connected to those times in Madison, Wisconsin in the 60s and 70s. But in some ways, you look for ways to bring back that lost time, and in this case, maybe with a lost recipe.
Can you go in a little bit about where the name Gorilla Cookie actually came from and those ties to the counterculture that really thrived in Madison?
That wasn't Ted's idea to call this wholemeal cookie a Gorilla Cookie. He developed it in the late 60s. By 1969, he got an agreement with the Mifflin Street Co-op in Madison to carry it on their shelves. He started delivering them, and someone, and if you remember what Madison was like in the 1960s, it's not hard to believe, someone at the Mifflin Street Co-op put a sign above the cookies calling them Gorilla Cookies. Gorilla in terms of warriors against the American Empire. And Ted was a fairly pacifistic person, so he didn't object to that name, and the name stuck.
Ted was someone who was very interesting to read about. What was it like working with Ted one-on-one, and what was that baking process like?
I had a brief period where I was his baker's assistant. He was very interested in education and history and the environment. We would be working in the bakery with Wisconsin Public Radio on, and he every day would listen to Chapter a Day as part of his continuing education. When the cookie was well known and popular, he circulated among a lot of the co-op people in and around Madison. He wanted support in turning his bakery into something grander, an educational center where he talked about educating children about nutrition. He wanted it to be a part of some sort of nutritional center that could do a greater good for the world than just producing a product. The proposal was met with no enthusiasm. By 2007, he was living out in the woods in a rustic cabin. Ted was a real nonconformist. Part of his stubbornness was that he became aware in the 2000s that there was a lot of interest in bringing back the cookie and trying to find the recipe and why won't he share it with us, that he stubbornly refused because he felt like, why do I want to put this out into the world so someone else will come along and commercialize it? That's not what I was trying to do. So I think that's why this story caught on with readers. It starts out being about the cookie and it turns into a bit of a character study of Ted himself.
Do you think that eventually this recipe will end up being perfected, close to perfected? Because we don't know exactly what was in there.
He told me when I visited him, his cabin was out in near Broadhead, looking out over the Decatur Lake, which is fed by the Sugar River. And nearby was a golf course, but that golf course went out of business and a group called the Three Waters Reserve came in and restored it as a nature reserve open to the public. And Ted helped to make that happen and donated his own land. I don't know anyone who is connected to the Three Waters Reserve, but unless someone went into that cabin and found the recipe, I don't know.
Well, Dave Dennison wrote the piece, A Baker's Secrets, published in The Baffler. Dave, thanks for joining us and sharing a bit of the history behind one of Madison's favorite cookies. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us from Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Rob Menser and John Davis. We'll be right back here in your podcast feed again tomorrow morning and each and every weekday. Until then, have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.